All right, guys, life can get hectic really fast. It feels like there's no time and we're always on the go. When you get overwhelmed with life's daily tasks, responsibilities, and unexpected challenges, important things like our health tend to fall to the wayside. Well, my friend, Healthy Cell is here to make taking care of yourself a priority. Healthy Cell makes getting back in the driver's seat much easier. They have an innovative approach to the pill format by using this awesome gel. This vitamin-packed, nutrient-dense gel can be taken by itself, mixed in your drink, or blended with your morning smoothie. Healthy Cell offers supplement packs to enhance your performance, focus, and well-being. Take control of your mental, physical, and physiological health with Healthy Cell. If this is something that you've been thinking about implementing, tap this episode, scroll to our show notes, and click the link for significant savings today. All right, click that link to support your health and our mission today. Now, enjoy the rest of the show. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Andrea Epting, and you are listening to the Direct Impact Podcast. Today, we are having a candid conversation between myself and Mary Bartito. Welcome, Mary.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. So, today, we are talking about what? There's a monster in my bed. And so the benefits of therapeutic separation.
Yes. So understanding like what is a therapeutic separation? Because I think this is an interesting subject because I know we talk about it up with the private practice we're part of, but I still also don't have a grasp of what that looks like and the benefits, you know? So what is a therapeutic separation essentially?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you mentioned our private practice. And so, we have some practitioners that work with us that specialize in sexual compulsivity and addiction and also intimacy betrayal, partner betrayal, and betrayal trauma. And so oftentimes both myself and these other practitioners, the ones that we do formal disclosures, and before we're able to do a formal disclosure with both the recovering addict and the betrayed partner, we go through a series of steps. And when we first do an initial intake and assessment, oftentimes what I find when I'm interviewing a betrayed partner is that they're going to be completely unable to establish any type of recovery or safety in order to heal in their current environment. Okay. So we're assessing that for both the recovering addict, their therapist is working with them on that, and the betrayed partner's therapist is working on that. We want to make sure that both parties have the environment that is conducive to recovery. Okay. That's where the topic of therapeutic separation is brought up. And it's pretty early on in that assessment. Of course, we need to see, you know, where both parties are on that. Where are they in their recovery process? What are their long-term goals? But it's just, this is way before couples therapy is part of it. Okay. And so, because if you can't live together, I don't think couples therapy is going to be, you know, also very productive. The goal is to, you know, go into things at the right time and really understanding what the process is. We want people to be able to take a lot away from it. So sometimes a therapeutic separation is necessary before people are able to really dive into not just their individual work, but couples work. And so a therapeutic separation, to sum it up, is just that. It is where there's a lot of different ways to do it. Some people can do it while they're sharing the same home. So it looks like some structure around how they use that space and how they engage with each other during the day and the night. Okay, so it can be done in the same location. Obviously, it's very expensive
Okay.
to have two separate dwellings. Even if it's just the motel up the road, it is, and sometimes that makes the most sense, but that it's still pricey. So we have to look at all of our options. But the spirit of the therapeutic separation is not to work towards separation or divorce or anything like that. It is just to create an environment for healing and safety for both parties.
I love that explanation because I think, and maybe other people out there who are listening think when we think separation, we need to be in two separate places. And also, like as a clinician and maybe even as a client, when we think separation, right, it's to move to a divorce or something. And my mind goes to like how there's so much pressure in maybe religion, society of having to stay together. And that word separation, right, brings a lot, maybe shame, guilt, or certain negative feelings of, oh, I can't keep my marriage together or something, or my partnership, whatever it is.
All excellent points. And unfortunately, it keeps people in either dangerous, abusive, unsafe, or just environments that are not conducive to healing and health, or recovery, for both parties. So, yeah, I mean, I think the word does bring up shame for a lot of people, or defeat, like you said, for a lot of people, but that's not the spirit of this. The spirit is to save a marriage most of the time. And this is probably the most important step to doing so for a lot of people. In my experience, yes, this is the most important step in the beginning to ensure that if both parties do want to work towards recovery, that whatever relationship they have can be salvaged and improved. So, yeah, it really is the opposite, but I think the connotation, like the word, it brings up a lot of mixed emotions and resistance.
So what happens if like that, if you have a couple that is resistant to the therapeutic separation, or at least one partner who doesn't want to do that, how do you navigate that for the recovery of the addict and the betrayed?
I think first, looking at what you said, it's like, where is the resistance coming from? Is this carried shame? Is this a social or religious standard or expectation that's being placed on you that's actually going to take you further away from your goals? So sometimes it just takes some real unpacking of, okay, well, where is this coming from? You meet people where there is like, it's like you're going to have all these feelings. It's very natural. But if we really do unpack the feelings and then look at like what is the goal and what is the spirit of this, if the spirit is to heal one way or the other, whether it creates an environment for not just both individuals and the relationship, or it's just for both individuals, like it is a win-win situation. And so I think when you do unpack it and you explain it and they receive some education around the spirit of it, they're like, okay, this makes sense. Especially when they understand that it doesn't actually mean they have to live in two separate environments, because most of the time there's children involved. There's a lot of negotiating and navigating and working out schedules and days and who needs to go, what, when, where. I mean, there is a ton to work out. And I think when it's first mentioned, it's that that comes up, especially for the betrayed partner, because they've been holding it together on their own for a long time while the, addict was in their addiction. There's no, they're not offering a lot of help, And so, yeah, I mean, it's that panic, that freeze of what does this mean? What are we going to do? How's this work in my family? And so it does. It takes a few sessions. It takes some time to figure out what works best for that home.
Because that's even where my mind went to, like when we think, like when you're saying you can live in the same, environment. Okay, what if there are other people involved, like kids, maybe extended family living too? And so how are you supposed to tell them or even navigate, hey, we're going to be therapeutically separated, and explaining to that, because I think that also goes back to, shame, or like sharing that we are having a struggle in our marriage, our partnership. and this is what's going on. You know, I don't think a lot of people would want to disclose to family or friends that this may be happening.
Yeah, they don't at first because there is a lot of shame. And for the betrayed partner, it's also, I don't want so and so to think this, not just of me, but of my partner. You know, I've invested so much in this relationship, and they're very optimistic that it's going to work out at this point, you know, sometimes. And so it's like, when everything is good, you know, what then are my parents, my siblings, my friends going to think of this person, right? So, I mean, a lot comes up. But that's also what you want to be ready, willing, and able to unpack. It's like, okay, how do I disclose that, you know, what's going on in my life so that I can get the support that I need, but do so with boundaries? So that, I still have. My partnership is still sacred in the sense that there is privacy around what's going on. And we have boundaries in how we communicate that we are having problems. And we are now going to be making some changes to hopefully move forward. You know, because there is a way to communicate, like, I need help and support right now. There are some things that are changing in our dynamic for some time. And we're doing this in hopes of healing. You know, so I think it takes time. It's important, not just with friends and family, but I mean, with the children. People ask these questions all of the time. I mean, obviously, you know, both parties that the you know, recovering or active addict and the betrayed partner, they love their children. They're devoted to these little humans, and they want to know, like, how do we communicate this? Do we? Yes, we do, is the answer. We do communicate it. It just depends, you know, on like what's age appropriate for. I mean, like, you're going to talk about it differently with teenagers than you do with like it'll itty bitty kiddos. But yeah, like, you unpack that in therapy.
Because that's even like when you're talking about the vulnerability and asking for help, it's not, I see it from both sides as the addict and as the betrayed partner, because you both are in a vulnerable state. You're both taking a big leap to ask for help, and that's a big ask because I think a lot of us don't like asking for help. Our ego gets in the way, and it says, I think it puts this, you know, perception of like, what about my abilities when it's not like we are human, we're going to fail, we need help, we need community, we need to reach out. You know, it's not that you're weak. It's, I feel like there's more strength in asking for help than anything. That's a beautiful strength.
It is. It's a beautiful strength. That's bravery is what we call it. I mean, because courage and bravery, it's doing it scared. You know, it's not like, you know, heroes are made out of doing it scared, not just because they're never scared of anything, you know. So I think that is important. I also, you know, I don't know. I think being willing to be honest and vulnerable first with yourself and then with others is just, it's a big part of it. Honest, open, and willing is the first three steps in the 12-step program, you know.
No, I agree. And I think what's important to highlight, you know, for our listeners out there is, you know, timing is everything, and just being willing. That's what I hear is most important through this process of healing and recovery, is be open and understand that it's gonna take time. It's not gonna be a, oh, in 2 weeks we'll be okay. It's a lot of work that's gonna go into this.
Yeah, and I know what I was thinking when you were talking earlier. It's like, it's not just being vulnerable and asking for help and how scary that is, because we're kind of like programmed not to do that, but it's also accepting what you're up against. You're not failing in every aspect of life, you know, and frankly, your marriage isn't failing. Your marriage has now been infiltrated by a disease of addiction. You have to know what you're fighting. You have to know what you're up against. You have to have a common enemy. And when you have a common enemy, there's nothing you can't accomplish in a relationship.
It kind of like the way that you describe it makes me think of like when a family has to adjust to like maybe, I don't know, for some reason my mind goes to like illness, if there's, or we're taking in like a family member, you know, to help them. It's like, okay, we got to come together to get a game plan. You know, how are we gonna, what's the schedule? What's the, who's gonna take care of so and so at this point? How are we gonna make this work? And really, like, you have to have teamwork. You have to be open and willing to share these things,
That's
you
right.
know.
It's part of the healing process. I mean, it's really challenging at first because there's so much hurt and pain and overwhelm and suffering. But I think when both parties are working towards recovery and they have that common enemy, like it's just amazing what happens and what's revealed most commonly for the first time. That's just, I love it when I could see that.
Well, thank you for telling us like more like about what therapeutic separation is, and I think we'll probably be diving more deep into this as our season goes.
And I know our theme is like around Halloween, so it's like there's a monster in my bed. But I think that for a lot of people, if they are just getting into this and realizing, oh my gosh, there is an active addiction, a sexual compulsivity in my home and in my bed, like it is like sleeping next to an alligator, and you're in constant hypervigilance and hyperarousal, and it is important to start considering a therapeutic separation, even if it's in your home. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epstein.
Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today.
Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. iBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great! iBuyDirect has you covered too, with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style. Do you like premium brands? I do. iBuyDirect carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the iBuyDirect link in our show notes and get affordable custom eyewear today.
Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.